night. Are you happy on your way to heaven? Oh, there's only like three people that said, are you happy on your way to heaven? All right. I didn't know if there was a crowd out there this evening. All right. Today we're talking about an important topic called pass the baton. We're going to be in an Old Testament passage to begin with, and we'll be in the New Testament later on. Psalm 78. You guys got your Bibles there. Turn there. First of all. And while you're turning there, have you ever woken up to the smell of pancakes and bacon in the morning? Raise your hand. It's a good smell, right? Pancakes and bacon in the morning. Now, if somebody made pancakes and bacon in the morning, somebody really loves you, right? Can everybody do a head like this right here? Somebody really loves you. So if you have that smell going through your nostrils in the morning, somebody really loves you. Okay, whether it's your spouse, whether it's you as a young kid, you smell up bacon eggs on a Saturday morning, you're just, man, this is going to be a good day. You know that, right? And so what we learn from that is we have to use all of our, what do you call that? Senses, right? We have to use all of our senses. Smell, sight, when you see that on your plate, and that syrup is just dripping off the pancakes. Man, that's good, isn't it? But somebody had to teach that person how to make, man, are you guys just craving pancakes and bacon right now? Maybe go to IHOP, like the preacher said last week, you go to McDonald's. Maybe go to IHOP and get some pancakes and bacon if you know how to make it yourself. But as we go throughout this life, we are taught things in this life. We are taught things throughout our lives, and we pass those things on to our children, to our grandchildren. And if you know how to cook, anybody know how to cook? Zeb, you know how to cook? Okay, cool. So if you know how to cook, we should be teaching others how to do the same thing, because if we know, we should teach others. And that's what we'll be talking about this evening. Now, does anybody on a rainy day ever have the joy of going out and splashing in the water puddles? Anybody done that before? Now, did anybody had to teach you how to do that? Not really. As a young kid, I can see, one of the kids at the children's home this weekend actually was jumping around the puddles up there. They got their shoes all muddy. Great, but they had a great, grand old time doing it. Do you remember ever going to hunt? Anybody a deer hunter? Did somebody ever teach you how to do that? Go out with this, sit on the stand, go sit, in that, blind, show you to be quiet, right? That's the most important thing in the woods when you're hunting. Shh, gotta be quiet. Wait for the prey to come, and then, boom, there it is, right? Yeah, right, Lane? How about sitting on the couch after that Thanksgiving meal? That lovely feeling sets in of contentment, or what's the word you just said? Oh, the chemical reaction that happens when you're eating turkey. Okay, there you go. So, remembering God's blessings, thinking about what God has truly blessed you with. Anybody, when you wake up on Christmas morning, December 25th, Christmas morning, it's all about Jesus' birthday, but we're excited about what? What's underneath that tree? What's new? What's going to happen that day, right? And maybe it's the pancake and bacon. Yeah, the pancakes and bacon that you're looking forward to that day. For me, when my mom, she made a nice cinnamon roll every Christmas morning. As a kid growing up, I remember that. And it was something that I loved. Anyone love the outdoors? Going outside, taking a walk with your dog, enjoying God's creation. Every one of us has senses built into our bodies, right? Sight, smell, taste. All these things are senses God has truly blessed us with, and we need to be using all of these for God's glory. What an awesome privilege we have that we've been given this book. So we can read, study, and then we get to pass on to the next people that are coming after us. Whether it's our kids, whether it's our grandchildren, whether it is whoever we're in contact with. If you don't even have kids, talk to somebody about it. And that's what we'll be talking about tonight. If you guys got your Bibles, we're in Psalm 78. We're going to read the first seven verses there in Psalm 78. It says, listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings of old, which you have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell them to the generations to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a new law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children. In verse 6, that the generation to come may know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." What a great passage here. This is a message that was, I've read it many times before, but it was really brought out to me at Hillsborough Family Camp this last year, and I wanted to bring a sermon on this passage. This is a great message that we need to receive ourselves, and then we all to also take it to those that are around us. So the first point this morning, or this evening, is every day we have an opportunity to tell others something. No, every day we have the opportunity to turn a new page, right? We have the opportunity to write a new chapter in our lives. And we seek new possibilities because we, as Christians, belong to the eternal family and kingdom of God. And don't you ever forget it. Don't ever forget that fact that you belong to the eternal kingdom and family of God. What a great message of hope we have, right? What a responsibility we have. And who are you passing that baton of faith to in your lifetime? We need to continuously tell others the love, mercy, and salvation that we have received. So the first question I have for you guys, who are you reaching out to? We need to tell others, because who are you reaching out to? Who are you personally connecting with at your school? Who are you personally talking to? Who are you reaching out to at the workplace this week? Who can you talk to? Who can you interact with and tell about Jesus? I need a couple volunteers this evening. I actually pre-pick them, but they're going to help me out. I need Cade Miller, Brock Stoner, and Isaiah Richardson to come on to the front here, please. Can you guys do the golf clap real quick? You guys know what that is? A little golf clap. There we go. Yeah. Not really loud, just really subtle, right? Okay, so these young gentlemen. Now, before we get going here real quick, you guys are all baptized believers, right? I think. Okay, yeah, that's right. So when were you baptized, Isaiah?
June 18th, 2021.
Okay, June 18th, 2021. When were you baptized, Kate?
July 23rd, 2025.
Okay, and Brock?
June 4th, 2023.
All right, so all summer spiritual birthdays. Cool, cool. Now, that is the best decision you'll ever make in your life. You guys agree with that? Yeah, that's an awesome decision. Let's give those guys a nice round of applause. Now, I didn't bring these guys up here just to give them accolations and celebration for their birthday, but I did want them to, you're going to do something for them. You're going to teach somebody something. Can you guys do that? I know. No, wait a minute. Okay, you guys, you said 2021, 23, and 25? All right, so we need to rearrange you guys real quick here. So you were the most recent, second most recent. And it's kind of funny. Look at that's kind of funny. Interesting. So what you guys need to do, based on your height, okay, you need to pick somebody in the crowd that's shorter than you and bring them up front here. Your age, whatever. Just go out, grab somebody and bring them up here. Hurry up. We got a whole lot of time. Let's go. All right, come on, guys. All right, bring them up here, right up here, right, stage right. Stage left? I don't know how that works. Okay, so I got this thing here. This is called a baton. We're talking about passing the baton. My dad made this for me, and it is pretty heavy, so you gotta be careful as you do this. Well, I need you guys to teach these guys. I'm not going to give you any instruction. You guys, the older kids, need to teach the younger kids what we're doing here. You're going to teach them to how to pass the baton, and we're going to go around the room. Do you guys know what I'm talking about here? Okay, do you know how? Can you teach somebody how to pass a baton? You do that? And I want you guys to walk with them or run with them, the method you choose to do, okay? Can you do that? We're going to start right here with this guy. You're going to teach him what to do, okay? And then you, Brock, you're going to go to the back of the room right there with your chosen companion. And then, Cade, you come right over here. Go over there, back over there with your chosen companion. All right, so we're going to start this way and go all the way around. And the baton needs to end in my hands over here. Does everybody understand the instructions? Do your head like this right here. All right. You guys ready? Okay, you giving him instructions? You know what he's doing? He's got to be the one to pass. The young kids got to be the ones that are passing the baton, the shorter kids. Wait. Okay, you're good. All right, you guys ready? Are you guys ready? All right, 3, 2, 1, go. Stop. You already neglected the instruction. What I say? The baton needs to go in the younger guys. There we go. Okay, now you can run with them. That's fine. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go! It's supposed to be quick, guys. Let's go, let's go, let's go. All right, let's give these guys a round of applause. Come at, I need you guys to come here real quick, though. Come here real quick. Good job. I got you guys a little surprise here. Now, this is actual money, okay? It's not much in inflation hit, you know. But I need you, what you guys need to do, you guys can take, there's 2 quarters. I think I got enough for everybody. So what I need you to do is take this quarter. You're going to keep one for yourself, but you're going to give somebody else after church the other quarter. Okay? Can you do that for me? You're going to give somebody the other quarter. Okay. I trust you. Oh, just enough. Cool. All right. Give those guys one more round of applause. Good job. So, we need to be telling others, telling them how to live their lives. And that can sound like a harsh thing, but really, that's the reality. We need to be telling others how they should be living their lives. So who are you telling about Jesus? Who are you having a conversation with about Jesus? You know, as older Christians, somebody that's been in the Lord a long time, we need to be having these conversations, having these discussions with people daily. Because if you think about it, this is the greatest message the world has ever known, right? Can I get an amen? The message we have as Christians is the greatest message the world has ever known. We need to take that message into this world that's dying. Remember, we are recipients of grace, and we as a sinner that's been saved need a Savior. And the world desperately needs Him as well. If you've truly come to Christ, we've experienced joy and freedom of His love unconditionally. We are His, and He owns us. That's the reality. He not only purchased us with His own blood, Jesus came as to purchase us with His blood, He actually made us. Do you guys know that? Jesus, John 1:1 talks about this. Jesus played a part in creation. He not only died for us, He actually made us. So given this reality, as a child of God, when we share our stories, we need to let others hear the glimpse of eternity. That let them know that I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm happy I'm on my way to heaven, and we, as Christians, need to let our faces know that sometimes, don't we? Because sometimes we can walk around just as big old grumps, right? Right? We need to make sure we're happy on our way to heaven, right? Not, we don't just fake a smile, but with the inside, it should boil over that we are happy on our way to heaven. No matter what happens in this life, we know where we're going, and we're going to take as many people as we can with us. Romans chapter 10, let's turn to that passage real quick. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 17 says, "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things.' However, they did not all heed good news, for Isaiah said, 'Lord, Lord, who has believed our report?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." That passage there is telling us, how are we going to hear if we're not preaching? How are people going to know if they don't hear? It starts with here. Faith comes from what? From hearing, and hearing from where? The word of God. So who are you reaching out? Who are you telling about Jesus? And then who are you going to pass the baton to in your lifetime? Number 2 is we need to teach others also. Not just tell them, we need to teach them too. Matthew 28 talks about this. He says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Right? That's one of the last few words Jesus spoke before He ascended into heaven to His disciples. We need to baptize, but we also need to teach. Teach them. Anybody ever been on a road trip without a map? That's like you can do it if you know where you're going. You're like, "I've been there 1,000 times, I know where I'm going," right? But anybody ever been to a destination without a map and you have never been there? That'd be almost like pointless. You're just straight up driving in the middle, whatever, you know? If you don't have GPS, you don't have a map, you don't know where you're going, right? So it's like raising kids to follow Jesus without using this book. That's like using the road map, like without going on a journey without a map, without GPS. We need to make sure we have our GPS turned on. Not the global positioning system, but God's plan of salvation. We need to have that in our minds, teaching kids, teaching them about Jesus as they navigate through this turmoil of life. We head in the right direction, but by ourselves, we often get what? By ourselves, we are by definition lost. By ourselves, we are lost. We are always going to be lost without Jesus, the map maker. So we need to teach our children and teach others these truths. God always keeps his promises. Amen? He always keeps his promises. And God gives us rules that we must obey. He wrote them down for us to read, understand, and live by. And even when others can't see what you're doing, who sees it? God sees it. We can be reminded of this many times, that God knows what we're thinking. God knows what we're doing, even when others don't. Our character should be, we should have the same character no matter what crowd is in front of us. Whether it's we're by ourselves, whether we're in front of our coworkers, whether we're at school, we should be the same person in any situation. We should also know that God disciplines us because he loves us. Teach your children. Teach the people around you these truths. And we can also ask people around us these simple things. What does it mean to really trust in the Lord? What does it mean to trust in God? Proverbs chapter 3 talks about this, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength. You know, actually, that's I'm quoting the wrong passage. But let me turn to the other one real quick that I didn't quote. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So trusting in God is not leaning on our understanding. So it's not leaning on ourselves, right? We're not trusting our own ways. We're leaning on somebody else other than ourselves. We're trusting and obeying in somebody else. In all our ways, acknowledge him, confess him, live for him, and he will what? Make our path straight. And another passage I actually quoted was, with all of our heart. What does that mean, with all of our heart? Does that mean with all of our blood-pumping organ in our body? No. That's the seat of emotion of what we are. That means in our entire being of who we are. With all of our heart, every aspect of our body should do what? Trust in God. Teach kids that. Teach those that are around you that fact. And then also, can you explain to somebody personally what it means to come to Jesus? Because if you don't know yourself, you better figure it out. And we're going to have an opportunity at the end of this sermon for you to respond to that message, to trust in Jesus with all of our heart. But you also need to not only know it for yourself, but also need to teach it to others, proclaim it to others, share it with others when the opportunity presents itself. Now, it's hard for us to comprehend, but God loves our children even more than we do. Now, as a dad of two teenagers, that's sometimes hard to think about, right? That God loves my kids more than I do. That's hard to think about because I love my kids. I really love my kids. I would do anything for them. But God loves them more. God has a future for them. Even when I'm going to be gone, he's got a future for them and my grandkids, hopefully, in the future, many years down the road. Now, there is lots of opportunities in this world around us when we are open to God leading. When God is leading, lots more opportunities present themselves. When we're in charge, what happens? We're just thinking about number one. We're all focused on who? On me. But when we're focused on God and his kingdom, lots more opportunities are going to present themselves that we can connect with others. Because we're not thinking of ourselves. We're thinking about the other person that's sitting across from us. We're thinking about the person that's at work, that's struggling. We can connect with them on a personal level. We can empathize with their situation. But if we're focused on ourselves, we're not going to teach them. We're not going to tell them because we're focused on who? Me. So we need to look for opportunities where we can reach out to others, help others, and help them strive to live for God. Now, while the children are being taught it's all about me, we teach them it's really all about God. It's really all about God and his church. So, Young parents here, that you have young kids here, talking to you, Isaac and Miley, you know, kids that Tanner and Brittany, young kids, teach them. Invest in them. Tell them. Okay? Invest in them. When they're young, they will, the scriptures teach when they're old, they won't depart from those ways. The most important introduction I've ever made for my kids is let them know about Jesus. That's the most important introduction I've made to my kids, and showing them every day in my everyday life that it's essential for their salvation. Now, in today's culture, we can help our children glimpse the wonder of this bigger story that's been gradually unfolding for thousands of years. And they are playing a piece in that puzzle, or a piece of that plan, the unfolding plan of God. They can play a role in that. They can play a part in that if they are faithful themselves. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. These words which I have commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit at your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand, put them on the frontal of your foreheads, and write them on the doorpost of your house and your gates." This passage is telling us, everywhere you go, talk about God. Everywhere you go, show them by your example that you love God. So who are you teaching? Who are you teaching? Who are you telling? And who, by your example, is going to come to know Jesus? Who are you going to pass that baton to of faith in your lifetime? Thirdly, this evening, we're going to talk about training others, training them. Spiritual warfare is a reality. By having God's word in our hearts, our kids will have the capacity to have this mighty sword, the offensive and defensive weapon that God has given us at our disposal. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not what? Sin against you." I've treasured it in my heart. It's a treasure in my heart. I'm going to hold on to it, but I'm also going to use it. First, we need to clearly articulate that this battle is real against sin. Satan's attacks come in many forms. Whether it's temptation to cheat at school, be dishonest, whether it's struggling over sexual purity, opportunities to engage in bullying at school, or confrontations with humanistic teachings, or internal battles from depression or even self-worth. These are battles kids and adults face every day. Spiritual warfare is more than a distant idea. It's not something we have to, work at towards. We're living it right now. Spiritual warfare is happening right now with every mind sitting on every one of these chairs tonight, with the exception of the young children, because they don't know better yet. But spiritual warfare is more than just a distant idea. It's a part of our everyday lives. Parents can equip their children to stand firm, being ready to wear that full armor of God that Ephesians chapter 6 talks about, using scripture as a defense and offensive weapon as truth. Because they need to know what's truth. We need to have, give our kids equipment. They need to have this readiness that comes from God's word and his scriptures. Be ready to face the battles ahead. When we face these spiritual battles, God has equipped us with this powerful armor. And remember, we are not alone in this fight. Look around real quick. Look around the room. We are not alone. We have each other, but more importantly, we have the Holy Spirit in our lives fighting for us. That we also look for opportunities for our families to serve together. It could be simple as raking the leaves for a neighbor, doing a simple thing like that, packing food for the hungry overseas or even abroad, here in the United States. Opening our home of hospitality to a couple that just to share a meal with. Visiting the lonely people, maybe in a nursing home. These are some small things we can do on a daily basis to connect with others, to build relationships with others, and have opportunities to connect with people. Because when we're thinking about others, it's going to create more opportunities. We also readying our children for action against the enemy, if we just remain complacent and focus on ourselves. Because isn't it easy just to grab a tablet and stick it in front of a child Isn't that, that's pretty easy to do, right? That's the, that's a simple way to do it. Now, at times, it's, you can be beneficial to help them, whatever, entertain themselves. But the more opportunities we have to connect with our kids face-to-face and then interact with actual human beings instead of watching something on a TV screen, so many more opportunities will present themselves. And it helps them later in life to have one-on-one conversations, because I think in today's day and age, the teenagers, the younger kids need to have those conversations because we're so focused on that screen and we're not focused on those face-to-face interactions. The culture is attempting to indoctrinate the children around us. We need to fight for truth that God's words has for us to say. We need to equip ourselves with knowledge and then teach that to our children. Know the truth for ourselves and then teach it to our children. Engage in meaningful conversations, whether it's around the dinner table, whether it's with friends at lunch or whatever. Wherever we can have those meaningful conversations. We also can pray for those around us. Pray for ourselves to remain faithful, but also pray for everyone around us to remain faithful as well. These steps can and must be a part of our everyday lives. If we're going to have a healthy spiritual environment as a family and flourish together, a part of God's kingdom, we need to do this daily. Strengthen each other, have conversations with each other, encouraging each other. Every one of us should be striving to do these things. These are just small, consistent ways we can fight for our family. In our family, I live with four people in my house, but right now I'm living with eight people. We live at the children's home. Some days of some weeks of the month, right? And that's a cool opportunity to get to minister to different kids and have more family. When we moved the children home, where our family doubled, right? That's pretty neat, or even tripled. But we have opportunities. Look at your environment. But we are part of even a bigger family here in the Harlan congregation. But even broadly, generally, as a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ that is around the globe. Remember that you are a citizen of that kingdom. And don't ever forget that. A couple scriptures I want to close with this evening is Psalm 78, 72. It's the end of the chapter that I started with. And this is Asaph was writing this. And at the end of the thing, he was talking about David in verse 70 through 72. It says he chose David, his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds, from the care of his ewes. And with the lambs, he brought them to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel's inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them with his skillful hand. Those are things that we need to be doing for our family, right? Whether you have kids yourself, whether you have grandkids, we need to be shepherding them with the integrity of our hearts and guiding them with our skillful hands. First of all, God does that for us individually, but then we need to be doing this in our families. And then another passage about this is Psalm 127, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." So, moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas, aunts and uncles, everyone, let's pass the baton of faith to the next generation. We need to make spiritual warriors, start with our attitudes, continuing the model we've been given and training them, teaching them, and telling them what they need to be taught from God's word. Let's tell, let's teach, and let's train the next generation. Let's get serious about training warriors for Christ. Amen? I want to thank you guys for your encouragement and your participation tonight. Thank you guys for the volunteers also. But there's an opportunity now. The band's going to come up, and we're going to lead a song of invitation here. But if you've not made that choice, this is God's GPS system, God's plan of salvation. This is the map how to become a Christian. First of all, you need to believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross for your sins. You believe in the fact that he created you and he's prepared a place for you to live eternally. That's first step. And it starts with hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17, right? We also need to repent of our sins. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. We need to repent of those sins, turning away from those towards God, living for him faithfully. We need to confess Jesus. Unless we confess Jesus with our words and our actions, Jesus says, I will deny you before my heavenly Father. Do you want to be confessed before your God? I definitely do. So you better be confessing Jesus in this life. And then we also need to be immersed, just like Jesus says in Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Do you want to be the former, or do you want to be the latter? Do you want to believe and be baptized, or you don't, or do you want to not believe? Because belief results in salvation. Unbelief results in condemnation. And then be faithful until death. That's our challenge. That's our opportunity. So if you have a need, we'd love to have you make that decision today. March 8th, 2026 could be your day that you could come up here and say, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. If you have a need, and somebody else, if you have a need that you need to make an opportunity to be encouraged, the elders would love to have a conversation with you. They would love to have a conversation, sit down and conversation with you, how to become a Christian, and then encourage you to walk in faithfulness to your Heavenly Father. So let's tell them, let's teach them, and let's train them.
Thank you, Jason. Can you please stand with me as we...